child star Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron.
Filmmaker Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron.
And we are here now with Kirk Cameron.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning into the program. It's Kirk Cameron, and I've had my morning cup of coffee, a little chocolate croissant. I am caffeined and sugar ready, and I'm going to talk to you today about a subject that I have always found extremely boring, and so do a lot of other people, the subject of history. Did you like history in school? I didn't. I found it to be a subject that I had to just force myself through. I wasn't interested because it seemed like nothing more than a collection of dates and dead guys that I had to remember. And it had nothing to do with my life. I mean, they're gone, they're dead. I want to look forward about, you know, the things that I am interested in doing this weekend. Until I met a historian. I've met historians that put you to sleep, and I've met a few that have really opened my eyes and gotten me so excited about history because they see it as God's story with his good guys and bad guys, the heroes and the villains, being played out on the stage of the world. And he's created the set. There's deserts, there's mountains, there's streams and valleys, there's the ocean. There's all these revolving sets, and there are props that he puts on those sets, and they're sometimes in the form of people or houses and buildings and cars and birds and animals and all sorts of things that help to tell the story that is ultimately about the life, the death, and the resurrection and the enthronement of one king. That was a whole new way of looking at history, and I met a historian that did that for me again. I met him at a convention. He was at a book signing his own book to adoring readers. And he was 13 years old. The historian is 13 years old. His name is Solomon Schmidt. And I had the greatest talk with him. I asked him for a copy of his book. I read it. I read it to my kids. And it was called U.S. History Bites. And he spells it B-I-T-E-S, as little bite-sized chunks of history for you to read to your kids. And I've asked Solomon if he would come on the podcast today. So, Solomon, it's great to have you on this podcast. This is something that's a little bit new for me, but what I love about podcasts is it's kind of like a radio show, only you can listen to it whenever you want, as many times as you want, on your phone or your computer or whatever. And I get to talk to really interesting people that many people don't normally get to hear from. And you are one of them. I was so excited to talk with you today because you and I met at a homeschool convention and you were there autographing your book, right?
Yeah.
All right, Solomon, first of all, tell everybody how old you are.
I'm 13 years old.
You're 13 years old and you're already famous. You wrote a book and you're signing autographs of your book. How many autographs do you think you've signed so far at the ripe old age of 13?
Probably a few hundred.
A few hundred. That's awesome. Now, tell everybody what your book is about.
Well, it's a U.S. history book that covers the 30 major topics of U.S. history, starting from Columbus and going to modern times. And it's specifically written for younger age children.
Okay, I have to ask. First of all, your name is Solomon. Don't you have like 400 wives and 300 concubines? Are your parents okay with this?
No, I don't have any wives. Oh,
that's another Solomon. That's right. That's the one in the Bible. But I know that you love the Bible as well, and you love history, and those are two things that I love.
Yeah.
Just for the record, I think multiple wives and concubines are always a bad idea. I myself have one, and I hope that you find the perfect wife one day yourself. All right, let me ask you a question. What in the world got you so fired up about history?
I've always been a reader since I was young, and my mom used to read to me before I was even born, when I was in the womb. So I've been reading for a while, and I think about the time I was in like second or third grade, I started reading history books, and I just went into it. I read a lot, and so from that, I started to learn and like the interesting parts and the different people in it, and from there, I've just kept reading more and more, and I always learn something new, so it's interesting and fun, and that's why I like learning it. And I just think it's also really important to the people in our modern times to know it and learn it and like it too.
See, I don't know what's wrong with me, Solomon, because I remember when I was 13 years old, I was never interested in history. I liked other stuff like sports, and I was acting in TV shows and stuff like that. But history, I always felt, was about a bunch of dead people that I never met, and they looked funny in the pictures with those white curly wigs and funny clothes that they wore, and I never got excited about it. So tell me, for instance, what's a story of history that you think is exciting?
Well, it's not really covered on in my books, but I do have a YouTube video on it. I think the story of Benedict Arnold is one of the most interesting, especially from early, like, colonial times. But there are so many other stories, like POW prisoners meeting Nazi generals on D-Day and different things, and the Crusades history. There's a lot of different stories that I've read about that I really like. It's really hard to narrow down to one.
All right, that's all right. Let me narrow it down for you. Benedict Arnold, can you just tell me in a few minutes, tell me the story of Benedict Arnold?
He started off in Connecticut as a businessman, and eventually, when the revolution started, he sided with the Patriots. And I'm not sure if it was the Massachusetts Safety Committee. It was some safety committee that gave him the authority to begin an attack on Fort Ticonderoga, which was controlled by the British, but his promised soldiers never came. And so he ended up joining with this man named Ethan Allen and his boys, the Green Mountain Boys from Vermont. And they had a bit of a dispute over who was in charge, but eventually they shared the leadership. And together they took Fort Ticonderoga. And from there, Benedict Arnold went on to lead different battles in the American Revolution, like the Battle of Saratoga. And he, by him leading and winning the Battle of Saratoga, what happened was the French saw that the Americans could beat the British. And because of that Battle of Saratoga that Benedict Arnold was a key player in, the French decided to help the Americans and obviously turn the tide of the war. And many people consider him the greatest general besides Washington, of course. But Washington, he was a great strategist, but he didn't actually win too many battles. When you look at Benedict Arnold, you see a lot of battles that he either led or he won. So I'd consider him the best American general of the Revolution. But what happened throughout his career is people would tell lies about him and take credit for things he had done, and tell to Congress how they had won different battles, even though Benedict Arnold had done it. One good example of that was General Horatio Gates. And he liked to steal a lot of credit from Benedict Arnold, so much so that Arnold got mad and Gates made him stay in his tent for a battle. But I think throughout the whole war, Arnold just started spewing and building up hate inside of him for not getting credit or promotions where he thought he deserved it. And so eventually that led to him betraying the Americans and almost surrendering a strategic point in the Revolution called West Point to the British. Eventually, though, he was found out. He wasn't caught, and he switched sides and joined the British for the last few years of the war, burning Patriot homes and different things. And when the British lost, which he never thought they would, he went back to England, where he was shunned by most British people, and he died, I think, at the age of like 61 in extreme poverty.
Wow. Are you reading this? Or this is all from memory?
Memory.
Wow. Yeah, you know, I never heard all of that. You hear about Benedict Arnold and you say, well, he's a traitor, right? I mean, people call somebody who turns their back on their country, oh, he's a Benedict Arnold. But there's a whole lot, sounds like there's a whole lot more to him than just being a traitor.
Yes, there is.
So, again, why is it important for us to know about guys like Benedict Arnold? Why is it important for us to, for people your age, to know about, say, the Civil War or the Revolutionary War? I mean, do you really think that that stuff is important for young people to know today?
Yes, especially because of one famous phrase, history always repeats itself. And so by learning from mistakes or successes in the past, we can learn from those mistakes and fix them and not fall into the same traps in our lives, or reflect back and follow the examples of great men like Jesus or George Washington or different people like Ronald Reagan.
Wow. So, for instance, what is an example of a lesson that some people never learned from history, and so they were doomed to repeat it? What's one of the common things that happens in history if people don't learn the lessons of history? What happens?
Well, this isn't so much an American history story, but in Bible story. I think the Israelites are a good example of that, how no matter how many times God provided for them, they kept on complaining, and eventually that led to their almost annihilation by the Babylonians and Assyrians and Canaanites and different people. I think that's a really good example, not as much from American history, but from Bible history.
So are there some lessons from our own American history just in the last 250 years or even back to the time of the pilgrims 400 years ago that we just had an election? I mean, we have a new president-elect who's going to be our new president in January, and there's been so much going on about whether we should be, whether we should have God in government. People have talked about separation of church and state. There's social issues coming up, and there's all these racial concerns going on. There's the rich against the poor, and the whites against blacks, blacks against whites, and different religious wars and things going on. Is there something that we could learn from our own American history that would really help us right now?
I think a good example of that is definitely the Civil War, civil rights, because by learning from the example of the Civil War, which obviously occurred after the country divided and couldn't resolve their issues, I think we can learn from that both sides have to resolve the issues with one another so to avoid a major catastrophe in the future. And another thing with civil rights is for like two centuries, blacks, well, obviously for most of early civilization, blacks were treated as slaves. But in American history, for the first like 200 years of our history, blacks weren't treated equally. It wasn't really until 1964 that they started getting the fair treatment that they deserved along with whites. So I think nowadays there is enough equality. I think it's just that sometimes people get angry, so they accuse people of not giving them their fair rights anymore, which causes division. And I think we can learn from that and try to control our anger so that those things don't happen anymore in the future.
Well, you know what, Solomon? I'm kind of hoping that you stay on this track of learning from history and teaching the rest of us about it like you are in your book, and that one day you grow up to be a man of faith, integrity, character, and leadership. Who knows? You might even be up there on the panel of candidates for the president one day. Do you ever think about that?
Yes, I do want to be a politician.
Are your parents okay with that, you being a politician? Do they think that's a good idea, or isn't that kind of dirty business?
I think people have stereotyped politics that way. They don't have to be like that. The way our founding fathers set them up and began, they don't have to be dirty, snaky politics or politicians. I think we need more politicians who are conservative and who know what's best for our country and who can clean up corruption. And I think I'd want to be one of those conservative politicians.
And I think you should be too. I'm behind you. I'm ready to start the campaign fund for you, Solomon for president. Or maybe maybe you should start out as like city councilman, or mayor.
Yeah, I've thought about it for a few months. I really want to be the mayor of my little city right here.
By about what do you think? Like maybe like 15 years old. Got to wait a couple years maybe.
I think the age requirement is 18, but I don't think I'll go that young because I do want to join the Air Force.
That's awesome. That's awesome, Solomon. You said that you think it's important to put constitutional teaching back into our schools. Why do you think it's important to teach about the Constitution? I mean, this is a document that's a couple hundred years old. Do you think it's still valid?
Yes, I do. I think that the importance of teaching the Constitution in schools is that going forward, we don't make the mistakes that our founding fathers were trying to avoid by writing the Constitution, I think it'll really help kids learn about their government and about the truth so that going forward, they know the laws of the land and what to abide by and what's unconstitutional and what's not. Like, it's super important for people like the Supreme Court. I think that people on the Supreme Court should have read the Constitution many times or have been lawyers or some experience with the law or judges on a smaller court before that. That's why the Supreme Court and other places that deal with the Constitution, like schools, are so important to have the Constitution put back into a proper place in those places.
I have a friend named Dr. Ben Carson who wrote a book all about the Constitution. It's called A More Perfect Union. And I learned so much about the Constitution. And, you know, some people just think of the Constitution as an old document. It's kind of has something to do with, you know, Yankee Doodle Dandy and a feather in his hat and the Constitution and the Revolutionary War, but don't really understand why it's so important today. Kind of like the Bible. It's not on the level of the Bible. It's not inspired word of God, but it contains principles that are so important, and they're lessons that were learned through experience that will keep us strong and free and blessed as a country if we keep them, right?
Right. Mm-hmm, yes. And I think another very important thing about the Constitution is that it keeps us or our government from turning into a socialist form of government or communism, which many countries have suffered from in the past. Countries like Russia, North Korea, North Vietnam, and East Germany, and all the countries that fell behind the Iron Curtain after World War II and during the Cold War.
Solomon, I know you've got a great story about your great-grandfather. Will you tell me about it?
Yes, my great-grandpa is Wilfred Adderman, and he's 95 years old right now, and he lives in Florida, and on Pearl Harbor Day, December 7th, 1941, 75 years ago from today, he was at the base in Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, when the Japanese attacked the United States there, and he was getting his ammunition checked. And an officer ran in and told him, grab your guns, we're at war. But by the time they came out, they weren't able to do much because the Japanese had already made the raid. But my family and I just appreciate and love him so much because he loves the Lord. And he does a lot of work for the advancement of God's ministry. And he was such an iconic role in history to me and my family. And his service to his country was appreciated, especially in my book. In the section of World War II, we mentioned him, and I've dedicated both my books to him.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. You know, I have a grandpa named Frank Bowsmith, who was working with the Marines as a Navy corpsman in World War II, and he was on the island of Iwo Jima, which was a very difficult and bloody battle that occurred there, and he was a medic who was patching people up who had gotten, you know, wounded with shrapnel and bullets or whatever it was. And so I've got a hero grandpa too. Well, I can't wait to hear what you do next. Tell everybody again the name of your book.
It's U.S. History Bites, and I'm coming out with a new one called U.S. Presidential History Bites. We're in the editing process of that one.
And you know what I love about your book is that it takes 30 really important things about American history, and it summarizes them in little bite-sized chunks. So I can sit down with one of my kids who's going through their own U.S. history curriculum in school, and we can review in about 2 or 3 pages the important stuff. We can talk about it because you've got little discussion questions at the very end of each section, and it's awesome. It's very accessible, and it's written by Solomon Schmidt, who is 13 years old, and so it's all being seen and written through the eyes of a young man, which is highly accessible for my sons and daughters. It's awesome.
And another great thing that we have is a YouTube channel, and you can find a link to that on historybites.com.
Well, Solomon, this is awesome. Thank you so much for coming on my program, and I can't wait to see what you do next. I want to read your next book. Can you send me an advanced copy of it when you get it ready?
Yes, we can. We will do that very quickly as soon as possible.
and I'm going to watch your YouTube channel. That's awesome. Listen, when you turn 18 years old or 19 or whenever you get out of the Air Force and you go to be mayor of your little city, I want you to call me because I want to try to get everybody to vote for you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cameron.
Okay. Great talking with you, Solomon. Take care. Have a great rest of the day and Merry Christmas. Wow, that's awesome. A 13-year-old who's fired up about history. And you know, I get excited about that. I've got kids. I've got six kids who are everywhere from 13 on up to 20 years old. And I am so excited when young people say it's important for us to learn the lessons of history so that we don't repeat the bad decisions and we can make more good decisions. Solomon Schmidt is a guy that I want to follow what happens in his life because I think God's going to do great things with him. I mean, here's a kid who says we need to clean up government corruption. He's reading the book of President-elect Trump at 13 years old, and then he's comparing his ideas to the Constitution, which he's saying is the plumb line. That's the standard for what we ought to be comparing all decisions to because those principles work. And he's given us the lowdown on Benedict Arnold. This is awesome. I appreciate you guys listening today. Make sure you get a copy of his book. It's called U.S. History Bites. And you can get that at his website, which is historybites.com. And I know he's got a great YouTube channel. All right. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the Kirk Cameron Podcast at iTunes or Google Play or wherever you like to subscribe to all of your programs. All right. God bless you. See you next time.